Spirit Life CNS Church invites you to join our programs where the Word of God will transform your life for better. Our programs are as follows: Sunday service, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesdays, Bible studies, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our monthly VGOs every last Friday of every month by 10 p.m. to down. Business and Leadership Summit every quarter of the year. Prayer and Prophetic Summit, second Friday of every month, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. under the leadership of the Presiding Shepherd, Prophet Cheru of Badari. Worship with us at Spirit Life CNS Church, opposite Wando Filling Station, beside Olashem Filling Station, Iwo Road, Ibadan. Telephone 081-3252-9517, 070-1927-7557, 00-6732-5748. Website www.spiritlifecns.com. Come and live the Word of God by proof. Your life will never remain the same. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's take our seats. We've been considering few scriptures on the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of Christ. We've been able to see from the book of Second Peter chapter one, we see that it's true knowledge that grace and peace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge of Him. And everything that pertains to life and godliness is given to us through the knowledge of Him. In fact, the totality of a believer doesn't know himself only if he knows Christ. It is in Christ that you discover who you are. Without the knowledge of Christ, you don't really know who you are. It is in Him that our identity is revealed. Without Him, we don't have identity. And that's why you see a believer suffering what an unbeliever is suffering. Why? Identity crisis. He is a believer, but every circumstance that an unbeliever will experience, a believer will experience. It's not because God doesn't hear prayers. It's not because God is evil. But because the man has not identified his person in Christ. It is important that when we come into Christ, we, through knowledge, we search the scriptures to find our identity in Christ. And it is only in Christ that our victory, the life of a believer, receives power. It is by revelation of Him that power is delivered unto us. You can be a believer and not be able to exercise the power in Christ because you don't have revelation of yourself, because it is in the Bible says, for we are hid in Christ. We are hid in Christ. And so for you to see yourself, you are already hidden in Him. For you to be seen in Him, you have to first and foremost have the revelation of Him. It must be revealed. And so when it's revealed, you are seen. The Bible says we are hid in Christ and Christ in God. And so every blessing that the Lord has given to us is in Christ. The Bible says in 1 Ephesians chapter 1 and from verse 3, for the Lord has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. If you look at all the provision of God for a believer, it's in Christ. There is nothing outside Christ given to a believer. And that's why the Bible says, for the just shall live by faith in who? In Christ Jesus. Nothing can be given. Nothing can be received. There can never be any exchange in the supernatural. There can never be any exchange of the supernatural resources without Christ. The Bible says, if you read the book of Colossians, it says, all things were made for Him and through Him and in Him. There is nothing that is made outside Him. And so when divine plan of God for a new creation, the divine plan of God is to have everything through Christ. Your blessings through Christ. Your salvation through Christ. Prosperity through Christ. Nothing outside Christ. And so a believer is stalked when he refused to gain the knowledge and the revelation of Christ. Everything, the Bible says, for all the promises of God in Christ. You could have all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. And so if you look at several scriptures, made us understand that everything is in Him. And that's why if you look at Apostle Paul, he kept praying that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, may give you revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because the first thing is not teaching them about themselves. There are a lot of people who say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They have the eye confidence, but they don't have the true Christ experience. I can do all things. They have attempted so many things. But the true Christ, the in Christ mentality has default. They have quoted the scriptures several times. I can do all things through Christ. I can do. They have the I. They have the I is the confidence, the self-will, the guts, the motive. That's the I. The passion to say I can do this thing. But they have not gotten to the point where they have the in Christ mentality. And so they have attempted a lot of things trying to do it themselves. But because there's no full knowledge of Jesus Christ, of what it means to have victory. And let me tell you something. A lot of believers have been pulled down. They have been deceived. They have been manipulated. They have been molested because they had a dream. Which one is more valid? The dream you had or the word of Christ? Which one? I want us to answer. Which one is more valid? And so I don't care if I have a dream. I've had a dream. I've been buried before. That somebody buried me. Now, another person will have that dream and will become restless. Say, I saw that I died. But there's nothing we can do about it. That's the devil. That's the lie of the devil. Which is more valid? The Bible says, he took the power of life and death from the devil. It's at his resurrection. The Bible says he went to the grave. He took, now, if the power of life and death is in the hand of Christ, and me, I am in Christ, how on earth? And so, if you look at the revelation of Apostle Paul, the first thing he was teaching the church is to first introduce Christ to them. If you read, let's read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 17. Very important. He said, now the Lord is that Spirit. Let's read it from verse 14 for a clearer understanding. I might need to read it from this version of the Bible. Let me read it from here first. From verse 14. But their mind were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Now, anybody who practices the law, what this place is talking about is this. Anybody who practices the law, like some churches do, the law given to the Jews in the Old Testament, the Bible says there is a veil on his eyes. He's blindfolded. Now, look at it. He says, which veil is done away in Christ? The veil is removed in Christ. Please, anytime you are studying the Bible, always mark anywhere you see in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. That is your provision. That is what has been made available. Anything you see, and at the end of it, they put in Christ. That is what belongs to you. Because it is in Christ that you have it all. Praise the Lord. It says, done away in Christ. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. When Moses is read, who is Moses? What is Moses? Moses talks about the law. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ. There's still a blindfold. Now look at verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. To the Lord there is talking about the revelation of Christ. When you turn to Christ, the veil of religion is removed. The veil of tradition and customs that we got through African background that came into the church via deception, through teachings of the pulpit. Most of us behave the way we behave because of the things we have been taught. Some of the things we do, decisions we make, they are altogether a accumulation of the teachings, the doctrines, the rudiments of men, the traditions of men, all put together affect our liberty, affect our victory in Christ. And so, when we make decision, we don't make decision like a new creation. A new creation who does not have the in Christ mentality, but like a new creation who only comes to church, who only studies the scripture, but not having the revelation of Christ. Now, that's why this man, Apostle Paul, is saying, nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the Lord there is turning to the Lord through knowledge. Through the revelation, and so let me tell you something. What this kind of teaching does is to break religious mentality, break dogmatism, all manner of things that can hinder you from your liberty in Christ. Look at verse 17. He said, now the Lord is that spirit. What is the spirit? Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The reason many believers are not living a liberated life. Tomorrow, there is one battle here. Tomorrow, family cause. Tomorrow, my neighbor is pursuing me. They are not liberated via knowledge. They are not liberated. Listen to me. Listen to me. When we are in Christ, there's no way a witch can touch you in Christ. The reason you are hearing some believer having that experience is this. The reason they are having it is their knowledge base has allowed the devil to play around with their mind. And so if the devil can get at your mind, he can get at your life. And so you'll be wondering, this person has been a Christian for so long. He's a believer. He's born again. He fasts. He prays. What is happening? Knowledge. He doesn't know Christ. Now, there's a difference between coming to church and knowing Christ. Praise the Lord. You see, when he was giving them an invitation in Matthew chapter, he says, 11:20, he says, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and that are heavy laden. He said, my yoke is easy. He now further says, learn of me. Jesus said that. Learn of me. Learn. You see, there are certain things, when we quote some of these scriptures, at times when you quote a whole scripture and you miss one word out of it can destroy the power in that scripture. And so when we quote that scripture, you say, we always talk about the part that, and you shall find the rest. But the part where he says, learn of me, we don't hit on that. And that's the emphasis. Rest can only be gotten when you have financial rest, marital rest, rest all on all the faces of your life when you come to learn of him. What is learning of him? Having the revelation of him. And that was why if you look at that scripture, you say everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us through the knowledge. This thing is clear. It has been given. Everything has been given. How do we get what has been given? Through knowledge. Listen to me. There's a bridge between what has been given and what you have been able to receive. A lot of things have been given to you, but you might not have received 20% of all that has been given. Why? Knowledge. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. True knowledge. And so, a man is talked. He has prayed, and all that he has prayed for has been given even before he prayed. But he could not receive them. Why? The true knowledge part of it has been left aside. And so, when we come to church, we pray all manner of prayers, we fast, we claim, I claim it in the name of Jesus. They say, claim it. You know, there was a time in churches that claim it was raining. They say, just claim it. When you claim and claim and claim, and when you don't even know what has been made available for you in Christ, you keep claiming and nothing is happening. Praise God. Now, look at verse 18. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is this scripture saying? This scripture is saying the more we look at Christ through knowledge, through teachings of the scriptures, via revelation, the more Christ is revealed. Now, what does mirror does to you? When you look at the mirror, what does it do? Reveals your image. Now, look at what the scripture is saying. He said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. The way you look at a glass, and glass reveals you. When you look at a glass, if peradventure you take your bath, and somehow some soap is still left, and you know, maybe part of your hair, when you go to the glass reveals you. And so you go back and do some cleanup. Now, that's what the scripture. He said, as we behold, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a glass. The way glass will reveal you, that's how the word revealed Christ. Hello? The way, when you look at the glass, when you stand before a mirror, the way the mirror will reveal you, that's how the scripture revealed the knowledge, true teaching of the scripture, reveal Christ. But where there is no knowledge, number one, Christ is not revealed. So you don't have a model to be transformed into. Look at what the scripture says. And are changed into the same image. We are changed. The word is a mirror that reveals Christ. He says in John chapter 5 and verse 39, he said, for ye read the scripture, you taught in them, ye have eternal life. He said, but they are they which testifies of me. The whole scriptures talk about, reveals Jesus. Jesus concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament, especially in the epistles. Now, the more you look at true knowledge and through the doctrine of Christ, the more you look at him, the more you are changed into him. And that's why your identity can only be found in Christ through constant beholding with open face at the glass. And so he says, and are changed in this into the same image. We are changed into the same image. We are changed into the same image. We are now, if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, the Bible says he appointed some to be apostles, he appointed some to be prophets, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some evangelists. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. He said, until we all come to the unity of faith and to the measure of the standard, until we are transformed, that's the word, that scripture, until we are transformed into that same image of Christ. Where we operate. Now, let me tell you something. As you are seated now, there's something I will say that may shock you. The same righteousness that was on Jesus when he walked on earth is the same. There's no, the one on you is not of a lesser quality. The same righteousness that he had, he gave. The same glory. He said, the glory that which you have given unto me, I have given to them. The same glory. That was why he told the disciples, he said, greater works, in John chapter 14. When he was doing wonders and they were like, this is not an ordinary man. He says, listen, you will do more than I am doing. Did they not do it? When they come to the knowledge. When the knowledge. He told them, he said, it is good that I go for the Holy Spirit to come. Who is the Holy Spirit? Their teacher. He said, when he comes, you will be changed. You will do mighty things. Praise the Lord. He says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed into the same image. We are changed into the same image through knowledge. Through knowledge, beholding as in a glass. When you study the scripture through revelation, it becomes clear to you as much as you look at a glass and see yourself. That's how the revelation can be clear. And that's why teachers are needed in the church. Teachers. Real teachers, listen, I've said this several times. I don't care how many people prophesy in a church. I don't care the numbers of prophets. I don't care how many people go in trance and how many days they go. Anywhere the word is not being taught, Christ is not revealed, and the people are powerless. Power is delivered unto us. Power is not a feeling. Power is a knowing. Power is not like, I'm now feeling that. It's not what you feel. Power is released in knowing, not in feeling. The church for so long have taken the power to be an emotional thing. You feel it. And so they make somebody had to fall before you know there's power. Somebody had to, there must be a falling. There must be, all manner of things, all manner of gimmicks. And so somebody's head is being held and they turn him around and he falls and say, that's the power. No, power has nothing to do with you falling. It has nothing to do with your emotion. It has nothing to do with feeling. Power is in knowing. When you know, you see, Apostle Paul got to a point in his life for somebody to say, all I want is that I may know him. Now, this is not just, there are two kinds of knowledge we are talking about here. It's called, number one is epignosis, exact knowledge of Christ, exact, that I may come to the exact knowledge. There's another one we call ginosko, experiential knowledge. Now, Apostle Paul, when he was talking in Ephesians 3 and verse 10, when he was saying that I may know him, he was talking about ginosko. Ginosko in the Greek word means the knowledge that is gotten by experience. Experiential knowledge. Praise God. Where you come to the... let me show you a scripture. Let me show you this knowledge. In the book of 1 John, let me show you what John says. The knowledge I'm talking about here. Let me show you what. Now, John, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1. Are you there? He said, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard. You get knowledge, number one, by hearing. How does faith come? Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The real translation of the Greek word Bible there is, faith cometh by the hearing of the word of Christ. Now listen. Which we have seen with our own. This is talking about the ginosko knowledge. Which we have seen with our eyes. which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about we came into this experience by knowing. We came into this knowing by experience. We experienced him. We have tested. When Apostle John, when John the Beloved was speaking to them, he said, listen, what I'm about telling you, I did not hear it. Not that I was taught. It came by experience. They had this intimacy. They had this. Listen. Let me read that again. Let me read from this version of the Bible. I think I love this version of the Bible. Let me read it to you. He said, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. How did that happen? How did they touch him? In John chapter 20, when after he has died and when he resurrected, the apostles were afraid. They locked themselves up in a room. The Bible says he appeared, his glorified body appeared. And he said, touch me. He said, I have bone and flesh. I'm no more a spirit. A spirit, what is telling to them, don't think he's a ghost that just came here. He has carried on the body, the glorified body that can transcend matter. That is what will happen when Christ comes. As soon as the trumpet sound, we have the same body. That body cannot get tired. That body cannot be weak. That body can transcend. You can walk through walls. You can walk through anywhere. That's kind of, if you remember in that scripture in John 20, they were in the room and Jesus appeared. That body does not know door or window, can appear through anywhere. And so they touch him. John, this man was there. He was teaching what he saw. When he gave them his hands and said, touch. We saw him. They saw the post-Jesus walk on earth, which was captured in the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark. They were with him all through. After he came in, they revealed, he was with them for 40 days, teaching them for 40 days. For after the 40th day, in Acts chapter 1, he was moved in, literally, on that 40th day, he moved into heaven, where they all stood. And the Bible says some men came who were angels, who told them, he said, the way you see him literally moved and ascend into heaven, he said, that's how you see him come down. That was, so he was with them. So what John was saying here was talking about the ginosko knowledge, experiential. He said, listen to it again. We proclaim to you the one who existed, whom we are talking about. We are not just saying a head knowledge. This is beyond epignosis. See, epignosis is having exact knowledge, having the knowledge that brings you into participation, into the same power. This is talking about experiential. Now look at it. For we claim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us. Say revelation. And we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father. And then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen. We proclaim to you what we have seen. May we come to that level in the name of Jesus. You know, there's this saying in English. They'll say, seeing is believing. They come to the knowledge of Christ by experience. You know, there are some things that will happen in your life. You tell somebody, say, listen, I have experienced this thing. There's nothing you can tell me. That's when it gets to a point when they had the experience of Christ. Can you imagine that they were beaten? Really flogged. After they came to this knowledge, and the Bible says, after they were flogged, the Pharisees flogged them because they saw them preaching in the synagogue. The Bible said they came out rejoicing. Say, hallelujah, we were flogged. They counted it a privilege that they suffered with Christ. They suffered for the sake of Christ. You see, one man of God was arrested and he began to say, he said, if he stays 24 hours in the custody of those who arrested him, Nigeria will not recover from the damage for 1 year. And he said he has churches in about 44 countries. That any Nigeria that passed through that country, they are in problem. My question is, the people in your church, are they not Nigerians? You have a church in Nigeria. The people worshiping your church, and you see, the Bible says, by their fruit you will know. Listen to me. There's a place you come to when you are arrested for Christ. Believers in Nigeria are suffering because of what I'm talking about now. The doctrine of Christ is far. They are too far from the truth. Their eyes have been covered in the reading of Moses, reading of the Old Testament. And that's why they can fight you when you teach them some of these things. Why? There's a veil. It's just like you are trying to describe to a blind man a beautiful color. There's nothing you can do. He can't see it. And you say, if you see this beautiful, see the color of this flower. So he can't see it. He's blindfolded. When he said that, I don't need a prophet to tell me that this is not of God, that Nigeria will not recover from the damage because he stays in the custody of DSS for 24 hours. So it tells you that it is the suffering is not for Christ. What they are doing is not for Christ. They come to the pulpit, they merchandise themselves, they preach themselves to the people. And that's why the people believe them even more than they can believe Christ. When they teach, they reveal the glass of themselves, not the glass. So when people look straight, they can't look to Christ. They see them. When I hear that, I say, I don't need a prophet to tell me that this is fake. Nigeria will suffer the damage. Why? Because they arrested you. Because you did something they felt is wrong. They want to question you. So Nigeria will suffer the damage. Because, I mean, praise God. The Bible said the disciples were excited. That the Bible said they rejoiced and they counted it a privilege that they were beaten for the sake of Christ. That when you come to a knowledge of a thing by experience, you come to the exact knowledge, the experiential knowledge. Listen to me, when people spit on you, it means nothing. That was why Apostle Paul came to a point in Galatians 2:20. He said, now I have been crucified. This is a level of knowledge where you get to know that you are not living your own life again. He said, the life I now live. Listen to me. When you abuse a dead man, will he answer you? You can't kill a dead man twice. He's dead. He only lives in Christ. And so, if the life that we live is in Christ, it means you cannot do anything in this life as far as you are a believer, only through Christ. That's why our blessing is in Christ. Victory in Christ. Everything in Christ. Why? You are actually dead, but it takes knowledge of Him to bring you to that understanding and to be able to operate in that capacity. Having exact knowledge and experiential knowledge. Exact knowledge means having a direct revelation knowledge about Christ. That was why in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, and as Saul was going, now Paul was going to Damascus, Christ met him and said, Paul, why hast thou persecuted me? The first thing he said, Lord, who art thou? That was when the knowledge began to open to him. The first encounter he knew it was Lord. Nobody had preached. He knew, how did he know you? But he needed more. He knew it was. He said, Lord. Praise God. If you look at what Apostle Paul encouraged when he was teaching Timothy in 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. He began to encourage him to have the sound doctrine. Say after me, say sound doctrine. Sound. The Yoruba people say, ekoto yekoro. Pastor, today, is that not what they call it? Listen, there are all my, what is doctrine? Doctrine means teaching. Doctrine means teaching, learning. That's the basis of the church. Teaching. Now look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. He said, now the Holy Spirit tells us clear that in the last time some will turn away from the truth. Some will turn away. We are seeing it. We are seeing it. They turn away. What does it mean to turn away? A sharp turn away from the truth, from the message, the sound doctrine of Christ. I'm reading King James. Now the Spirit speak expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Mark it in your Bible. Teachings. Giving heed. What does seducing spirit mean? Manipulative spirits. Deceitful spirits. Teachings that come from demons. Teachings that belittle Christ. Teachings that makes Christ to look like an alternative. Teachings that make people have a cold approach towards the things of God. Teachings, they make the gospel sound so, they molest the gospel. They water it. They make it sound invalid. How? Through the traditions of men. That was why if you read that Colossians 2 and from verse 8, he said, don't let them spoil you. Don't let them captivate you. Don't let them manipulate you. Through traditions of men. Rudiments. Doctrines that are not after Christ. But it's quite unfortunate that these things have moved into the church. They have been touched. Let me tell you something. Any teaching in any church, any doctrine, taught in any church, I don't care who is the head of that church, that does not uphold the truth of Christ, that does not put Christ as Lord and Savior over the people, whatever the teachings is, I don't know, I don't care where they get it from, that does not bring people to the liberty that was taught in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. He said, now this is the liberty that is brought in. If any teaching that does not liberate people, it's the doctrine of demons that keep people outside of the place of worship, that keep people bound in condemnation. Whatever teaching it's called the doctrine of, I don't care where they got it from. In the last times, in the last days, men will turn away from the truth. They follow, he said, they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings, doctrines that comes from demons. Now, I'm reading verse 2. He says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience snared with a hot iron. Now, sanctification comes via the word. How? Knowledge. There's a sanctification that comes via knowledge. Now, let me show you. I've been longing to teach this message for a long time that speaks of the doctrine of Christ. What makes a true Christian, a believer, what makes you a strong, a sound believer is the sound doctrine of Christ. Nothing more. Not, I'm telling you the truth, not titles. One can be in church and be given all manner of titles. May make you a deacon, give you and call you a pastor, call you whatever. What makes you strong and sound believer is the doctrine. Doctrines mean teachings of Christ. It is through the teaching of Christ that knowledge, that you access the knowledge of Him, that is revealed to you as beholding as in a glass. That is what makes you who you are. That is how you can defeat the devil. Listen to me. If somebody says you must have to call the name of some angels, you have to burn some numbers of candle to conquer the devil, they are deceiving you. Your victory is in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 37. For in all of these things, we are more than a conqueror. How? In Christ. In Christ. Praise God. Titus 1 and verse 9. It doesn't matter what people teach. I was listening to a man of God who said something interesting. He says, how do you know the church where Christ is? How? Is it because there's crowd? Is it because the pastor can speak very well? Is it because there are miracles? The only way to know where Christ is resident, not because they have the name of the church called the Church of Christ. The only place where you can see or you can find Christ resident is where the doctrine of Christ is being taught. Where the true doctrine, the true teaching of Christ is being taught. Titus 1 and verse 9. Are you there? Holding fast the faithful word as it has been taught. Holding fast the faithful word as it has been taught. That he may be able by sound doctrine. Mark it in your Bible. Say sound doctrine. To exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I'm going to read it from this other version. Teaching on the doctrine of Christ. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. There are a lot of gainsayers in the church. Gainsayers. Even as ministers, who fight the truth. When you teach a scripture, they said no. I was listening to a man of God this morning, and he said he was teaching them about the scripture. I think it was in John chapter 10, where he says, "No one can snatch you out of my hands." And one pastor answered and said, "What of if I snatch myself?" Can you imagine? God is saying, no matter what the devil is trying to do, because you are saved, you are saved. No one can snatch. You know, there's a way religion fights this doctrine of Christ. When religion gets hold of you to a point, when somebody brings this teaching, the teaching of the doctrine of Christ to you, you can stand up and want to slap the person. Lately, somebody sent me a message. Sent me a message on Facebook. When he sent me that message, he said, "When I hear your teachings, I thought you've been teaching us heresy." He said, "I don't even know where he came from. I don't know. He just sent me." He said, "I thought you have been teaching us." He said, "Most of the time when you come to teach us, I thought you are." He said, "But I have started realizing that the things you are teaching us is the truth." Religion is a veil. That's what 2 Corinthians 3. Religion is a veil. And religion can turn even a professor into a fool. Religion does not respect education. Religion does not respect hierarchy. Religion does not. You will see aged person who is probably a founder of a church. But when religion gets hold of him, it was religion that made them stand before Jesus and say, "How on earth will you heal on Sabbath day? What should be your point of concern? A woman has been bent for 30 something years. The Pharisee have seen her all those years coming to the synagogue. She was healed. And they were not, listen, I thought there should be a rejoicing that this woman, we have known her all the years of her life. She bends like this." That disease has a name medically. Why will you heal her? Don't you know today we are not supposed to do anything, including healing? Jesus now asks them, "Who among you, will one of your sheep or cattle fall into a ditch on Sabbath day and you will leave it there to die?" He said, "And here is a daughter of Zion for 38 years. Those people are wicked. Religion makes you to look so wicked. A woman on a very good day, powerful message is going on in the church. You say, stay outside. I see it as wickedness. Because she gave birth, imagine my wife just gave birth to a baby girl. And I'll tell her, don't come to church for 3 months. I will just turn her into an unbeliever. It's easy. Jehovah Witness people will take her away. Because, listen to me, how will you tell somebody not to come? That's what religion does. Religions make you will make a decision that, when you will see the stupidity in your own decision. You will make a stupid decision, but religion will not make you see how stupid that decision is. Praise God. Titus 1 and verse 9. "Holding fast and faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Praise the Lord. Titus 2 and verse 7. Look at Titus 2, 7. "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, chewing on corruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. Sound, listen, I don't know who I was sharing with. I said, I'm not saying I'm the best teacher of the word of God, but I felt anyone who sits under this kind of teaching the Holy Spirit is bringing here, sit under this kind of teaching for 1 year, his life should change. Because these are things that are able, the Apostle Paul was speaking, I think in either 1 Corinthians, he said, these are doctrines that are able to transform. There are teachings that deforms. You leave a preaching, you just finish hearing a sermon, you are deformed. Because what they are preaching to you is the law, and the law has nothing to offer but condemnation. The law reveals your fault. The law tells you are condemned. The law does not have the power to make you live, supply you the power to make you practice what he demands from you. Can only demand, but does not have grace with it to make you practice the demand. Look at it. The Bible says the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came. Now, What does that mean? Look at that. Through Christ. Before he gave you the truth to practice, he gave you the capacity to practice it, grace. Grace, first grace. Then the truth. Now, he will not demand from you the truth. He will not introduce the truth. He knows you don't have the capacity. That was why the first thing he introduced. That was why the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8. For ye were saved by grace through faith. The first thing that brings you to Christ was grace, not the truth. It was when you came into Christ that the truth was revealed. Hello. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. Some speak that cannot be condemned. That he that is in the contrary path may be ashamed. There are those in the contrary path. You should bring this teaching to them so that they will be ashamed of when you listen. There are places I've been to, and I'll teach these things and I'll ask them questions they can't answer. There was a day I went to teach in one church. I said, an innocent lady who is born again and she's on a menstrual period, and she's asked to stay outside of the church. And elders in the church who sits in the altar or in the chancel but have grudges in their own mind against themselves. They are drunkards. They sleep with their own, the other people's wives. Who is clean and who is holy before the Lord? They were all looking at me. They couldn't answer. Now, so some of them begin to see. I went to Elisha to minister. We were there together. When I began to teach this thing, some of their elders stood up and they were looking at me like this. When I took them through the book of Hebrew, how the blood of lambs, goats, birds could not remove annually, the more they practice it, the Bible said, the more their conscience became dead. The more they became incapacitated, the more annually. Now, the Bible says, for he came with his own blood. His own blood. He is the priest himself. The Bible says, he sanctified for once, entered for once. If you are sanctified, you are sanctified. What makes you feel you are not sanctified is your knowledge base. Let me tell you something. When you are still misbehaving, maybe you are still committing one sin. If you are in Christ, maybe you are still fornicating. The problem is not you. The problem is your behavior. Your spirit has been sanctified. The problem is the knowledge base you have in Christ is short, so you still misbehave. When you come to full revelation of him, there's no how we can. It's not possible. So when you see somebody is born again, he's still fornicating, he's still lying. The problem is not with the sanctification. The problem is not with the salvation. The problem is with knowledge. He's not well taught, or he has refused to search the scriptures to find himself in Christ. And so when you don't know yourself in Christ, you misbehave like every other person misbehaves. You can be a drunkard, born again. Why? He doesn't know himself in Christ. So he does anything. He will still come back and cry and say, Father, forgive me. And because he has been sanctified, he's brought back again. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He did not say when you are doing good. And that's why the major thing in a church is teaching the word. Every other thing is that the major reason we come to church is for you to be taught. On if he gave 5 offices for the purpose of teaching, Pastor Tony, when you read down what, there was no place he said, I gave. Listen, in the New Testament, the office of a prophet has to do with teaching. It is in the Old Testament that all they do is to speak visions. In the New Testament, go and check the book of Acts. The Bible says, and some apostles and some prophets, they exhort brethren in the knowledge. They exhort. Listen to me, one of the gifts, if you read the Amplified Version of the Bible, a prophet is called inspired teacher and preacher. That's where a prophet should be. A prophet should be so... Listen, I used to tell people, when I teach now, I want to stop saying C and S. Because God is sending me far beyond that. And it will look like I'm condemning where I'm coming from. I want to stop saying. In the church, mostly in our own circle, they believe that a prophet should prophesy. So a prophet should not even be able to preach. That's the understanding. Because it's on. They say, when they say, we want a sound preacher, they believe he should be a pastor. But listen to me. A prophet should do it better. Because he has a taller sight. He is a prophet. When he opens the Bible, he should hear from God in teaching of the word. Now listen, I'm not saying a prophet is... There's no hierarchy in the office. Like, apostle is bigger than an evangelist. There's nothing like that. But they have their own place. There's this man I love so much, Prophet Scubos. Prophet Kupos. Have you ever heard? This man teaches, he will dissect the scriptures. Titus chapter 2. Sound speech from verse 8 now, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be put ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us. Now, I told you something the other time. I said, grace came to you before truth was revealed to you. It was grace that brought you to Christ. It was grace. It was not because the preacher was so powerful in preaching. There are people who were not, nobody preached to them when they just decided in their own room. Nobody preached to them and they said, I want to give my life to Christ. Grace. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Praise the Lord. And so, beloved, I want us to have this understanding that I am nothing. I can't do nothing. Even though I'm born again, I've accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. If I have not had the revelation, the true doctrine of Christ, the true doctrine of Christ, what makes a real man of God is not nice car or convoys of car or the suit or the watch or the numbers of country he has traveled to. That's not what makes. What makes a man of God is the ability to teach these things. Nothing more. When he was talking, whosoever desires the office of a bishop, I think that should be in 1 Timothy. He says, whosoever desired the office of a bishop must be apt to teach. Must be able to teach. Teach what? That was why Paul was teaching his mentee, Timothy, that you must be able to teach this sound doctrine. That's what makes you a man of God. Not having 200 cars, not building big church with big... What makes you a servant of God? I'm going to show you something. Let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remember of these things, which thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What is Apostle Paul telling Timothy? If you are able to teach these things, you will be a good minister. He did not say when you have the good, nice suits or you are able to buy 4 or 5 cars. He said, if you are able to teach, to communicate, you will... Let me read this in this version. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be worthy servant. What makes a minister a worthy servant is the ability to teach the doctrine of Christ. You can see it here. Clear. Nourish up in the word of faith and good doctrines. Let me read this version. It says, if you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ. One who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. The good teachings you have followed. The good doctrines whereunto thou hast attained. Praise the Lord. Read verse 7. He said, but refuse profane and old wife fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Refuse profane. Refuse yeses. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas. You see people teaching godless ideas. Old wife tales. Old wife, bama baba. Our father, John chapter 4, the woman was telling Jesus, our father told us, Jesus standing before you are talking about your fathers. There's this old wife fables, old wife tales. It has been like that. Who are they? We are talking about the teaching of Christ here. What your father say or what? I was teaching on a... they asked me to do a lecture. All the CNS movement youth, they have a WhatsApp group, International CNS Youth WhatsApp group. And so they say I should do a lecture for them on Palm Sunday on that group. And I took them through the teachings. And one person asked me a question. She said, I think the donkey Jesus climbed is like Range Rover of our days. And I replied her, I said there are things, places, figures written in metaphorical languages in the scripture. You don't give them direct interpretation. And don't ever say you think. Think what? This has nothing to do with your opinion. So you be in a Bible study and someone say, what you said, well, it's like, but me, what I think, what's our business with what you think? We are talking about the teaching of Christ here. You say what you think. What you think should be with you. In fact, what the teaching of Christ should do is to destroy your thinking and put what and impact the revelation of Christ. And so you come to a Bible study because people have been blind. They will be telling you what you see. In my own opinion, it is not a national assembly where you come and talk about your where people's opinion, and you don't nobody votes to agree that this is the truth. It is the truth. You like it or not, you believe it or it is the truth. The fact that all the people seated there does not agree with it does not change that the fact that is the truth. He was telling Paul in Acts chapter 9, he said, for you cannot kick your feet against the truth. You can't. He said, you don't try it. As he was running to Damascus to kill the disciples, to arrest them, he said, for you cannot kick your feet against the prick. He's talking about the truth there. Stone. He said, you can't. You can't fight the truth. And the Bible said the Holy Spirit will testify only to the truth. So it doesn't matter what they teach in your church. If the Holy Spirit is not there, he won't testify to it. He only, John chapter 16, he said he will testify only to the truth, because that was why he was sent, to reveal the truth. Praise God. Refuse profane old wives' tales. Do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. How do you train yourself? In the knowledge. In the knowledge. When Apostle Paul was teaching, for bodily exercise has a little profit. He said, but when you do a godly exercise, what is exercise? You know, a godly exercise, a spiritual exercise, is bringing yourself to the place of study. Exercising yourself in the knowledge. Noting, discovering. You are Apostle Paul. He said, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said, give attendance to teaching and reading till I come. He said, when you are now coming, please bring my parchment. Wait, that's this jotter he used in taking notes. Take notes. I have close to 5 jotters. Anywhere I am, my parlor, my room, I have jotters. Listen to mercy. Take notes. Hear via audio. Hear audio Bible. Read any access to the word. I will get it. We have read before, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The purpose of the scripture. Let's read from verse 14. But knowing, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, Timothy, listen to me. Let me tell you something about Timothy. Timothy's mother was one of the disciples of Apostle Paul. The reason Apostle Paul was so sure that Timothy knows the scripture from the childhood, from his childhood. So Apostle Paul was sure that Timothy has been taught this thing from his childhood because of his mother. And I'm going to show you that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's talking to Timothy here. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois. Paul knows the family, he knows the grandmother of Timothy. He said, and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Praise God. Look at this. He says, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine. Doctrine. For teaching. For learning. This is the four borderlines. Anything else. You see, people use the Bible for all manner of things. They use the Bible to teach all manner of things. But listen to me. These four things here are the reason, the borderline for the for the use of the scripture. Doctrine. For reproof. For correction. And for instruction. Now look at what he says in verse 16. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scripture, which are able to make thee wise. The doctrine of Christ make you wise. The doctrine of men makes you foolish in the things of salvation. You look so foolish. Now, look at this. He said, make thee wise unto salvation. Make thee wise unto... When you give yourself to listening to doctrines, rudiments, traditions of men, you become so foolish in the matters of salvation. You become so foolish that you can't possess your possession and all that has been made available for you in Christ. But if you give, you know what I was saying? He said, and is able to make thee wise. There's a wisdom that comes via the sound doctrine of Christ. Let me tell you something. There's a place you get to a level in this revelation that comes from the sound doctrine of Christ. That you don't need prophecy to take decision. You know, it got to a point in our life that you don't do anything without getting a prophet to talk to prophesy over your life. You want to go to school, you must go and see your church prophet. You want to walk, prophet is the one. Let me tell you something. 50% of believers, now that the prophet have taken over televisions, prophecy, the prophet is the one dictating their life, not God. Marry, prophet. You want to travel, prophet. Prophet, can I go? Say go. Did you ask God? The fact that you ask a prophet doesn't mean you ask God. The fact that you went to ask a prophet does not mean you ask God. So you get to a point that you become so sound in this knowledge that there's no manipulation that can. They won't even come. They won't come. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For instruction. Can you imagine buying a fine electronics and you refuse to read the instruction? You just went and just plug it and just stop playing it. Listen to me. 80% of the capacity. That's why I mean the way we use phone. Phone comes in its pack with a manual. But Africans don't like manuals. Anything that has to do with our force, the first thing is to go and charge it. Charge it. So we charge it over from the first day of use. Why? He has refused to study the instruction. Listen, there's an instruction that comes with the package of salvation, the scripture. This is the manual of life. It is given for instruction unto righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. But when you were given, no money was asked for. Nothing was asked for. No price. Because Jesus paid the price. But when you were given, it came with a manual. Though this is free, but study the manual. And the Bible is the manual. So refusal to study this doctrine of Christ will shortchange you in life. I'm telling you the truth. We shall change you so much that it will affect you than you ever think. Listen to me. There are people going through trouble in life now. Emotional trauma. They are going through challenges of life. Not because God does not hear prayers. Not because they see as if it's God that is their problem. God is not their problem. You say, I've prayed, I've fasted. What else do you want me to do? I've done everything. No. Gap. Knowledge gap. Knowledge gap. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, when you come to Christ, you need a thorough furnishing, a repackaging, a remolding through this. Because as soon as you come to Christ, your old character is still there. If you are still lying, if care is not taken, you still continue lying. It is this teaching of the sound doctrine of Christ that reforms you. That was why Apostle Paul was telling them in Romans chapter 12. He said, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. How? He was telling them through the word. Be ye transformed by the renewal. So when you come to Christ, listen to me. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to the church in Romans. They were all born again. But they had not. He heard that some of them were still fornicating. Some of them were still lying. Some of them were still stealing. He now discovered that the challenge with them is that they don't know who they are. When you don't know who you are, you will do anything. You will sleep. When a lady does not know she's a queen, a daughter of Zion. Hey, some sisters will bring names to you and say, let me pray. I want to hear God. What's the name? Abdul Wahab Isa. They don't know who they are. Sleep around like dogs. They don't know. But when they are able to check that side of their life, where they find their identity in Christ, listen, behavioral crisis is not a problem again. Most of them, they have issues with behavior. they are not stable. Why? They have not been transformed. Yes, they are born again. But look what does he say? That the man of God may be perfect. This perfection is not the perfection of works. If you read for Ephesians chapter 4, he said, for the perfecting of the saints. That's what the same thing is saying here. They are saints, but they still need perfecting. Why are they saints? The same righteousness of Christ is on them, so they are saints. But there's a need that there should be a character reformation. There should be a character modification. Through what? The knowledge. Through teachings. Now, as this teaching comes, there's a multiplication of grace. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, for grace and peace is multiplied unto you through knowledge. So, the things you were doing before, the misbehaviors, the messing up, as you hear these teachings that comes through the sound doctrine of Christ, there's an empowerment, there's a multiplication. Yeah, people, you come and give testimony before, I used to have this temptation, I fornicate, but now, teaching of the word is not prayer. There are people who have prayed that, I pray, I won't fornicate. The seventh day of prayer and fasting, they fornicated. We have tied everything to fast and prayer and leave the place of knowledge. But when you hear, listen, Christ will be revealed so much to you to a point that when the devil tries to tempt you with something, you look at it, you say, this me. It's even an insult that you are tempting me with this thing. You can't imagine the devil tempting me with Gouda. He said, I mean, and I'll say, that is temptation. I can never call that temptation. As far as God, that's not say, the devil is tempting me to drink one bottle of Gouda. It's not me. That can't be a temptation. It's a level of, it's a dimension you come into through revelation of Christ that empowers you in the knowledge of who you are in Him. Like I said the other time, power for a believer is not a feeling, it's a knowing. You dispense the anointing by how you know and how much you know, not the feeling. Praise God. Thoroughly furnished for all. What is to furnish? When you say the word furnish, when you say you want to furnish your house, you bring things. You put the nice chair. Nice, you are furnishing. Now, what the word does to you is to decorate your spirit with abilities, with qualities. You are impacted with the virtues, with values in Christ. You are impacted. Temperance is impacted on you. Perseverance is impacted on you. Virtue is impacted on you. That is what we call furnishing. Putting you, reconstructing you. There's what I call spiritual cosmetic. The way you paint somebody's face is painted. Your spirit is painted as you hear, as you come to the place of sound doctrine in the teaching of Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Luke 24:45. Luke 24:45. Praise God. Then open their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He opened, listen, what one of the things the teachings of the scripture does to you is to open your understanding. That was why Paul said that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, may be opened. When you get a grasp, when you get a full comprehension of the person of Christ, that's what he's talking about here. Listen to me. Look, let me show you something. Let me show you something. After Jesus died, some disciples were moving around as they were going. Peter and one of those disciples. Look at what happened. And Jesus, can you imagine? Jesus came and was asking them questions. They did not recognize him. Luke 24, verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communication is this that ye have one another as ye walk and as sat? And one of them, whose name was Clopas, answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, has not known the things which come to pass there in these days? Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? Christ answered them. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Can you imagine? It was Jesus that was asking it. But they didn't. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deeds and word before God and all the people. As at this time, even the disciples did not even know him as Messiah. They were still seeing him as one of the prophets. Look at it. He says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They are not sure that it may be, it should be the person. They are not sure. He said, and beside all this, now look at this. They believed Jesus came for only Israel. That was even after the time they were following him all around. They believed he came for the children. That was all. That was why Peter fought it for some times, even as the gospel was going to the Gentiles. And beside all this, to this day is the third day since these things were done. Verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Verse 23. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he is alive. Verse 24. And a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Now look at what Christ will say. You don't even know. Have you not read all what they have said about this man? That is enough to tell you that this man will come back to life. Now, that was what he was doing to them. Now, one of them said something. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, while he opened to us the scripture. There was a, listen, when you hear the sound doctrine, there must be a burning in your heart. What is that burning? Removing veil. The burning is consuming the veil of religion. He said, look at what he said, did not our heart burn within us? When you hear sound teachings, sound doctrine, this was Jesus teaching them about himself now. But the one thing they perceived as he was teaching, that there was a burning in their heart. What was it burning? It was burning the veil that has covered them in the reading of Moses. In the veil of tradition, the veil of the rudiments, the philosophies of men. Done away in Christ. How? Through teaching. Our heart burned. What was it burning? What was their heart? What was it burning? It was burning away. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and gathered the 11 together and them that were with, saying, the Lord is ready. Now, this was when, after the teaching of Christ opened their eyes, they went back to Jerusalem, went to declare affirmatively. You remember when Jesus met them, they weren't sure. They said he was the one that supposed to, you did not hear about somebody, a man who is a prophet. As soon as Christ met them and began to teach them this thing, the Bible said they went back, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and had appeared unto Simon. Is it the appearance that made them believe? No, because when he first appeared, they did not see him. They did not know him. He was asking them questions. It was not a physical appearance that made, it was the teaching. As he began to teach them, their heart burned within and they saw him. So you could come to church where Christ exists or where Christ should exist, and where there's no teaching of Christ, you won't see Christ. So when he first appeared to them, they did not even. So it was not the physical appearance that made them, this is him. No. Praise God. This was after this, he stayed with them for 40 days and was teaching them every day. That was why John said, we have seen him. We heard him. We saw him. We heard him teach us. He said, we have handled these things. We saw, our eyes saw it. Praise God. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15:4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. Now I'm going to read from verse 3. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again and the third day according to the scriptures. There was nothing Christ did that was not in accordance to what has been written. He did nothing outside of scriptures. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, all was prophesied according to the scriptures. All according. And so, there's nothing you can get out of Christ if not in the scriptures. There's nothing. There's no how. Listen, there's no motivational speaking. There's no passionate talk, emotional drive that can bring you to the place of your authority except in the reading. Because everything that pertains to Christ is in the scriptures. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:7. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. He says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You see, when people are blindfolded with religion, when you teach them, when they still have the breastplate of religion cover their heart, the Bible says they will always learn, never come to the knowledge of understanding. Because the Bible says they have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Let me close with this. You know, he was rebuking the Galatians. He said the Galatians had some teachers who came and started telling them that they can only prosper, that is not possible for a Gentile to come into Christ until he is circumcised. He must practice the law. These teachers came after Paul has led them to Christ. They came after they discovered Paul have left, and they began to tell them that they are not true believers until they practice the law of the Jews. It's quite unfortunate how a church that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we go and start practicing the law given to a tribe. The Jew. We should be the one, let me tell you something. We should be the one going to Jerusalem now and sitting the Jew down and teaching them what I'm teaching you now. But a church will now bring that is called Judaism. That religion is called Judaism. You bring it in and start practicing, start introducing prayer shawl in all manner of religious and Judaish practices and bring it into the church. And so Peter was rebuking and Paul was rebuking. He said, did you receive by salvation? Do you receive salvation by the hearing of faith or the words of law? Were you healed by the hearing of faith? That was where he said, oh, you foolish Galatians. Why did you allow men to deceive you? And when Paul was leaving, he told them, when he started teaching them, he said, if you read Galatians 1, if you read verse 7, he said, if anyone come and teach you anything outside of this doctrine that we are teaching you, he said, let the person be accursed. If you read verse 9, he said the same thing. He lay emphasis. And so he had to come them back to them and say, you must be foolish. He said, I heard that some teachers came behind and started telling you, you must practice the law of the Jews to become a true believer. He said, who bewitched you? He called it bewitchment. Who has bewitched you? What does it mean to bewitch? To manipulate. To maneuver. They bewitch them. Many church has been bewitched. Many preachers bewitched church members. In fact, let me tell you something. Another word for witchcraft is manipulation. Go to Galatians. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1. Oh foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Who manipulated you? Who turned your mind against the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works, he was asking them, by the works of the Lord, or by the hearing of the Holy Ghost you receive, was it by practicing law? Of what is the hearing of faith? The teachings of Christ. Verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, ye are made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered unto you the spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the words of the law or the hearing of the spirit of the hearing of faith? Who bewitched you? Be careful who you listen to. There's a lot of bewitchment. There's a lot of manipulation going on. Be careful who you listen to. Hear all manner of teachings now. All manner of teachers coming up. The fact that somebody is preaching on television does not mean he's preaching the truth. The fact that miracles are happening. Listen, miracle is not the evidence of the presence of Christ. Because the Bible says in Matthew 24, he said, in the last days, false prophets, false teachers shall arise. He said, and they will perform great miracles. Listen to me. The power of darkness can bring miracle. Listen to me. When Moses was given rod and God told him to go and show a sign before Pharaoh, and he threw his rod on the floor and became snake. What did the magician do? They say, is this a small, small miracle? What did they do? The same rod in their own hand, they threw it on the floor and the rod became snake. Say, God. But God proved to them that there's a bigger, the power is above power. Moses' rod that became snake swallowed all their own snakes. Swallowed it. So miracle, the fact that miracle is there, does not mean God is there. Do you know, want to know where God is? Where there's sound teaching. Sound teaching. Sound teaching. Let me close here. There are two ways through which people approach the Bible, even when they say they want to study the Bible. There are churches who, it's not like they don't do Bible study, but how do they approach? The fact that a church is doing Bible study, are they studying the Bible appropriately? Who is their teacher? That's the first question. Who is teaching them? I know churches that study the Bible, they will study the Bible from Genesis, they will open pages to pages, till the end of the year they will finish Revelation. But it has not changed their life. What is the approach? Who is teaching them? Who is teaching who? Somebody will just come out and be teaching what he doesn't know. And says, God supports disunity. That God cannot even do anything without it. He said, because the Tower of Babel, it was God that sent this. He said, so there must be disunity before God do anything. He was preaching that. Can you see interpretations? So there are two approaches to the Bible. Number one, trying to tell, bringing your own ideas, your own opinion into what you have read. Or trying, the second part is allowing the Bible to teach you. You understand? Opening yourself for the truth of the Bible. You are not trying to impact what you know. There is a way people try to, they try to preach the scripture from their own ideology. And they will get a scripture for it. Praise God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So we are teaching on the sound doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. Because every provision God has made for us to enjoy is in Christ. And when you are not well taught, when you are not well furnished, when you are not well polished, when you are not well taught, when you are not learned in this thing, when it has not been revealed to you, you cannot see yourself in Christ. You will achieve so less. You can't do much. You will suffer what an unbeliever is suffering. Why? You don't know yourself. You are born again. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But have you been transformed in the revelation of Christ? No. Learn of me. First, he said, come. Come is, I have given my life to Christ. When you come, learn. When you come, you don't just come. You come to learn. When you come, the Bible says, first, when he called the apostle, he first called them to be with him. Why? So that he can teach them. He first called them to be with him. So there must be a place of learning. Now, when people don't come to Bible study, I see it as they don't know the value. I've been in love with the Word of God since I got born again. Anywhere I get teachings, I was in secondary school when I started buying tapes myself. I bought books. I bought tapes. I will listen to them. Go for conventions. Let's give ourselves to the truth, to the study. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16, he says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided. Listen, if people would take this gospel the way they take their career, writing of projects, a medicine student in his final year, if people would take the discovery of the person of Christ through knowledge, if they would take it that serious, lives would have been better for so many people. The kind of seriousness through which they approach their exams, the study, the library, search, all manner of search on the internet. If they will go after the revelation of Christ like that, their lives would have been better. Let me tell you something. There's nothing you can do in life that can last like having the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If you try to read all the books here in life, you will end up becoming a professor in one university. The government determines your pay, and you become a professor after some years. You may not even be useful for them again. They say you can go. You work for 35 years in the civil servant. They say you are done. But listen, this is forever. The Bible says, it says, godly spiritual exercise is profitable here and there. Has much profit here and over there. We are all born again. But our exploit in life depends on how much of Him. We make different exploits, different levels of impact, walk in different dimensions based on our revelation in Him. Praise God. It's time for question and answer.
Spirit Life CNS Church invites you to join our programs. We are the Word of God will transform your life for better. Our programs are as follows: Sunday service, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesdays, Bible studies, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Our monthly VGOs every last Friday of every month by 10 p.m. to down. Business and Leadership Summit every quarter of the year. Prayer and Prophetic Summit, second Friday of every month, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. under the leadership of the presiding shepherd, Prophet Cheru of Badari. Worship with us at Spirit Life CNS Church, opposite to Andro Filling Station, beside Olashe Filling Station, Iwo Road, Ibadan. Telephone 081-3252-9517, 070-1927-7557, 0067-32-5748. Website www.spiritlifecns.com. Come and live the word of God by proof. Your life will never remain the same. Jesus is Lord.